Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. We read this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." We pray. These are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Now, what if I told you, go up to Dean Schmidt's office up in Old Main, and go in there and grab his car keys, and maybe grab his laptop, grab a few bobbleheads while you're at it. Why don't you drive all that stuff over to my place? And if someone stops you and says something to you, and I say someone, because obviously you're not going to do that while Dean Schmidt's around. So if someone says something to you, then you say, "Oh yeah, Professor Prooks has need of them." And, all good, right? Now, of course, for legal purposes, as a disclaimer, that, that was just for illustrative purposes only. I wouldn't risk it. You don't want to mess up graduation or anything. But I say that because I think it kind of brings out a little bit of the weirdness in what I just read to you. It's easy to kind of look at it and be like, okay, Jesus is getting a donkey and tells a couple disciples, "Hey, can you get this donkey for me quick?" But if we take a step back and if we kind of put ourselves in the place of the disciples there, the two disciples, I would have a few questions. I would be like, "Wait, so you want me to go and get this donkey and the owner's not around? You don't want me to knock on the door or anything? You just want me to take it?" Be like, "Isn't that like Grand Theft Donkey or something?" And then it's like, okay, so someone is stopping? What do you mean if someone catches you, say this to them? Why do we have to have that be part of the plan? And, you could think, well, okay, maybe Jesus knows this owner, and maybe that's the case. But he certainly doesn't word things like that. He doesn't say, "Hey, I have this, former college roommate in this village, and his name is Daryl, and he lives on Shalom Street," and go there and knock on the door and say, "Hey, you know Jesus? Oh, yeah, okay, can I borrow this donkey right quick?" So it doesn't do anything like that. It's very just get this donkey, and it's like, what, you just mean take it? Yeah, I guess that's what he means. And I think that maybe should strike us as a little bit odd. It's not neat and clean to our way of thinking about things. Now, of course, we know Jesus knows all things, and we know in the gospel accounts that it goes okay. I mean, people do stop the disciples, but they, go with that line, and it all works out. And, Jesus wouldn't have been cool with stealing it or carjacking a donkey or something like that. We know from the Bible he's strict on the law. But in the end, we got a couple of questions left. Why does he get the donkey in this particular way? And why does he tell us about it in the Bible? And not just one gospel, but actually three gospels tell us about this donkey fetch quest sort of thing. So why do that? Obviously, there's got to be a reason. And I think we have to admit that, yeah, it's an odd command, but it challenges us to think through, well, Jesus gives us some odd commands today too. I'm sure it was a challenge for the disciples to follow through on that and be like, "Oh, this is odd." Well, what about us? God doesn't say, hey, get this donkey for me, but he does give us requests that are kind of cringy to our 2022 ears. He tells us things that seem weird, and it's going to be uncomfortable in our context today to, you know, that seems weird to people to say, hey, just trust this one book as inspired. It's going to be weird. Hey, what this book says about creation, go with that instead of evolution. It's going to be weird when the Bible says stuff about men and women that grate against today's standards. It's going to get weird when the Bible says stuff about strict sexual morality that just doesn't really go with how today's world is. So there's a lot of weird stuff like that. But I'm just talking about generalities. It gets weirder when we start thinking about our particular lives too. It puts us in an uncomfortable spot when the Bible says, hey, what you did with your boyfriend or girlfriend crossed a line. It gets uncomfortable when the Bible says to you or to me, hey, how you're treating your spouse is not what I meant by love. It gets uncomfortable for you and for me when the Bible says, you know, what you think is just justifiable anger is really just hate and being mean to people. It gets uncomfortable when the Bible tells us things like, hey, the way you talk about other people is exactly what I said not to do. What I'm getting at is I think the Bible's commands sound weird to us because every command is going to sound weird to us when it goes against us, when it calls us out on sin. That's what we don't like, and therefore that's what we count as weird. I think we have a clue for why this text does what it does with this weirdness. On the one hand, we see there's a certain arbitrariness. God just commands something and the disciples are supposed to go with it. There's a certain amount of that that's going to be weird for us too, and the Bible tells us things. But when we situate this within Palm Sunday, then we see another reason of why this is weird the way it is. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rides in on a donkey, and he rides in ultimately to his death on the cross. And we can face it. That's kind of a weird plan of salvation. Hopefully it's okay to kind of say that, but it's a little weird. It's weird because I think the way that we tend to like to do things is we can either ignore them, or we like to think we can do things on our own. And God's plan of salvation is weird, but in a really good way, because his plan is that he's going to do stuff for us. He's going to be the one that saves. And he's going to do it no matter how weird and difficult it has to be. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. He took our sins upon himself. And that's painful and horrible and weird. But he did it because he needed things to be done right to save you and me and to take our sins away and to make us and put us right with him. That's what he had to do, and that's what he did. He rose again on Easter, though having died. You know what? Death isn't weird, because that happens to all of us. But he wanted something weird out of that for us. He wanted us to rise, and that is a weird thing, and a really good weird thing. So he did the rising so that we could have that rising too, and we could have that weird thing so that we don't just have a meaningless death to look forward to, but something far more and greater. That's what he did with his resurrection. And it's going to be weird when he tells us, hey, just trust what I say. But he works that trust in our hearts in the very words he speaks to us. So, you know, there's a lot of weird in the Bible. But I think as we experience the gospel, we know, hey, that gospel is the exact good kind of weird that we need. And then, I mean, think of the consequences for this that we can anticipate. And it's really quite good that Jesus keeps things weird for us. On the one hand, okay, yes, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that's still going to be tough on us, tough to take to heart. But you know, it's a weirdness we can live in, because implicit with all this is that God is bigger than us, he's greater than us, he knows more than us, and he's in control of stuff, and ultimately, he's working those things for good, he's working things to bring us home to heaven, even though, yes, there are going to be bumps on the road along the way, and things are going to be weird, and we can trust that he's going to handle that, because he accomplished salvation for us. And with the king coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, that's weird, but it's such a comfort, and it's liberating because he's in control and we can live at peace knowing he's taken care of us every step of the way. And I think, you know, in the end, heaven is going to be weird for us. We're so used to this life as it is. We know heaven is going to be weird, but I can bet you heaven is going to be the good kind of weird. Amen.